And welcome to the program on this Monday. It is October 7th. Thank you for joining us. This is Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm meteorologist Justin Storm alongside Ag Director Bridger Riedel, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. And well, we got a lot of things to talk about today, Bridget. I know you have a lot of information with what's going on out in western North Dakota from the extreme winds over the weekend causing some pretty drastic fires out there, or devastating fires that kind of ruined a lot of stuff, some structures, and unfortunately a person's life was lost all in that process over Saturday. We need to hit on that as well as a check on your regular forecast for the day. We got a bunch of guests, full studio today.
We actually, boy, that's for sure. I don't think we've ever had this many guests before.
I think this is the most people we've ever had on the show at one time. But before we do any of that, hi, John, what's going on?
Well, I'm gonna make it brief.
But oh, well, that'd be a first.
I feel like giving away some of Hallstrom's goodies.
Oh, yeah, what did he give you to give away?
I think you guys should put up, like a WDAY hat for the first person who can guess when either Dean is going to come pick up his goodie bag I brought home.
Oh, I didn't know you were home already.
Up yet, dude?
No, I don't even know if I picked the one up from last year.
Or will this one become a chia pet?
Gross. That's nasty,
John.
I want to know what's in the bag.
I will hit. He was in the Chicago area, so he had to get me some.
He got him
Chicago
food
goodies
a year ago, and he never came and picked it up.
I picked up part of it.
Yeah, well, now you have a chia pet that needs to get picked up.
Well, it'll be a good Christmas present for you.
Exactly.
Gross. Hey, John.
I have to dodge gunfire to go get him goodies.
He did.
That's all I'm saying.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I'll get a hold of you later this week, buddy.
Appreciate it, John. You're not getting a hold of him. Let's be real.
Same as check is in the mail.
I'll actually be in his part of the neighborhood later this week. So.
Well, that's not his driveway.
No, it's not.
He's part of the neighborhood.
Tailgaters doesn't count for his driveway.
Apparently not. Wow.
In his part of the neighborhood, it's Fargo. It's not like you're, having to cross downtown Chicago. This isn't tough.
I don't know. As I look out the window right now, I see very slow-moving traffic in the northbound lane due to that time of the year again where they throw the cones up on the interstate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not. I mean, it's flowing, but they're not doing any more than probably, I don't know, would you say 40 miles an hour?
That's the speed limit.
35?
Yeah.
Wow. 40, that's the speed limit, Dean?
That's what they've got it. That's what they have it suggested as.
Sure, I see. All right.
Posted at.
Makes sense.
Yes. Okay.
Anyways, back on schedule here. We'll touch on the hurricane. Rapid explosive intensification of the hurricane down in the Gulf of Mexico is expected to make landfall Wednesday evening around Tampa Bay in Florida. Could be a devastating hurricane, another one that'll cause a lot of problems down there in the wrong time after everyone is still trying to get fixed up after the last Hurricane Helene.
Yeah, I was just talking to one of my friends. Her and her husband live down in Tampa, and she said they're boarding up the house. They're riding it out. Her elderly mom lives with them, so there was really nowhere for them to go. And she said they did check hotels in and around the area, and they said they can't get anything.
Booked.
And then Jay was telling us his son is down there.
Wait till you hear this.
Yeah.
Tell her.
They are jacking up not only the price of gas down there, but also hotel rates as well. Yeah. I mean, that's just wrong.
And flights, the prices of flights to get out are going through the roof.
Well, we are a capitalistic society, so let every dollar be made,
I guess
you could say.
That's way too far, though.
Absolutely, and nobody said that it was the right thing to do.
Like, I get it if everybody wants to leave Florida to go to Nebraska for something. But, I mean, when you're facing towns getting wiped off the map, I mean, that's outside of I want to go watch a cool football game or something. We're going on vacation this weekend.
They've lost.
So is another 4 million people.
They've lost sight of the human aspect of that situation.
Yeah, that's just beyond wrong. So anyways, we'll touch on your forecast down for Florida as well today. Category 5
Well,
right
now. If we're going to talk about massive storms that keep coming, and we haven't even talked about the cleanup from Helene yet at this point and how it's affected agriculturally And now what we're going to be doing when it came to, you know, the wildfires here in North Dakota. I have lots of notes and messages about that. We've all been sharing internally, trying to get as much information pushed out to our listeners as well. And I've been on the phone this morning with multiple folks in regards to what's been happening out there. The fire departments are still being called out because anytime those piles of ash and so forth move, you still see flare-ups. Mm-hmm. The fire at Mandaree has not yet been contained, and the same with Grassy Butte. It just so happened that there were already some firefighting planes positioned in eastern Montana due to fire in eastern Montana, northeast Wyoming. So they've been coming over to help drop water on the whole situation. The wind went down. Thank you for that, you guys. Mm. But unofficial count, somewhere around 11 or 12 homes have been lost. We've had one fatality, but there are certainly more who have been injured. I think the PTSD and the stress and the trauma that's going to affect those volunteers is yet to be seen. Over 18 volunteer fire departments, people left their homes to go fight fires. Farmers fired up tractors. They took tillage equipment. We saw folks, farm wives, took their kids somewhere safe, evacuated them, and then went home and started cutting fences to let livestock through. Jeez. So that they could escape the fire. I have pictures that I don't think I can post. They're pretty traumatic of dead animals because they got caught in the flames.
Mm-hmm. I saw a bunch of those on Facebook over the weekend as well.
Bridget, I got an email earlier, and I wasn't sure of the exact answer. I think I know the answer, but I figured I'd ask you. Was when these livestock are lost in fire, is there anything they can do with them? Is there any, we can't use them for food. Can we use them for anything else or no? Nothing?
Okay. Those animals are dead.
Yeah.
No, that's no. And North Dakota Stockmen's Association is sending brand inspectors into the region because there are animals that are roaming around. So they're trying to gather them up, look for identifying markers like ear tags and brands. In some cases, the ear tags are melted. The animals can be injured and hurt. Certainly, they've been scared and traumatized as well. For those that have been found, a lot of people from the central part of the state have lined up with trucks and trailers to go out and help move livestock to better pasture because a lot of pastures are burned out. There was some standing crop that was destroyed, lots of barns. And there were a couple instances where folks were in tractors with tillage equipment trying to create fire breaks, and the fire got out of hand. It moved almost like a hand with the fingers, and as those flames moved, people could get caught between them. And when that happened, tires started to blow on tractors. Firefighting vehicles were trapped. People just really had to escape with their lives in some cases.
Man.
There's a lot of damage out there.
Is there a pre-estimated number of acres that have been affected by these fires so far across the state over the weekend?
We got to be pushing 40,000 because the Mandaree fire was estimated at 25 by itself. Grassy Butte, 12 miles by 5 miles. And I don't even know how many acres we want to count in the Ray Tioga fire. But 72-mile-an-hour wind gusts at Williston. So just the way it drove those flames through there was just huge. There are so many folks that have done a lot in order to try to fight these fires. And now, unfortunately, it hasn't quit yet, because if we get those winds again, if we see things flare up, those departments are going to continue to be called out unless we can get some sort of moisture to help that region.
And thankfully for the week, the winds stay light until we head towards Thursday. They'll start kicking up again a little bit. But just some pretty impressive winds that were ripping off out of Montana through western North Dakota, anywhere from low 90s in Montana's into the 70-mile-per-hour range in western North Dakota, and even building into the Devil's Lake Basin, 5 miles south of Devil's Lake, a 75-mile-per-hour wind gust, 74 miles north of Grand Forks, and even here in Fargo, gusting to 59, 60 miles an hour. So it was a very blustery day. But as I said...
Weird question.
Yeah, go for it.
Where's the wind come from? Because we know that there was a hurricane down south, but this is all coming from the west.
A very strong area of low pressure. I shouldn't say it was very strong.
It was pretty. Yeah,
it was impressive. But the bigger factor was the contrast between a high and the low. So you had, it wasn't just the low that was causing the wind. You also had high pressure that was adding to that when you get the. So the way you get wind is the difference in pressure. Wind will move from high to low. pressure. And the stronger or the bigger the differences between those areas of pressure, the stronger your winds are going to be. So that's what was feeding into our winds, was just the great pressure gradient between Canada. And I don't remember exactly where the high was set up. I think it was over
Eastern,
Colorado.
Eastern Great Lakes.
Great, all over there, Eastern Great Lakes. So that's what added up to all of that. But not much more wind for the next couple of days, Dean, huh?
No, we've got clear skies out there right now with temperatures in the 60s, and we should warm it up today into the low 70s. Not a bad-looking day with plenty of sunshine and light northwest winds. And for tonight, clear skies. Seasonally cool with lows near 40, and then tomorrow winds turn to the south-southeast on the light side with highs tomorrow into the mid-70s, and then we're looking at 80 degrees as we head towards midweek, and then near record warmth on Thursday with highs in the mid-80s. A record on Thursday is 86, and then a cool front swings through, and then we drop into the 60s for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. A slight chance of a few light showers on Sunday, but
where's my rain, Dean?
Boy, that's for sure. There are signs of a pattern change possible after mid-month, but it's dry through then. So, unfortunately, just not a lot of moisture available. Can't shake it.
Bummer. And with those high winds, we know that sometimes that's the occurrence can be the power lines are snapping. And when they snap like that, you can get sparks. Yeah. And there's just that much dry plant material out there. Western North Dakota has historically been a no-till situation where we don't do a lot of tillage in order to conserve moisture and not have as much wind erosion. But now because of that, we are seeing a tremendous amount more ability for plant material to burn.
Well, and the western third of the state is in moderate to extreme drought as well. I mean, that doesn't help.
Yes.
You know, it's just, yeah, not a good situation.
It's dry. Yeah. It's dry.
Anyway, coming up on the program, if you want to be a part of it, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe line. You can also reach us via email. That's weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Comment box is also on Facebook, YouTube Live. We also stream over there on Acres TV. Bridget, we got a full house today. We have a lot of people. There are six people in studio right now. Myself and Dean being two of them, but Bailey, Dawson, Tegan, and Grant are all with us for our guest segment that's coming up here in just a couple of moments, and they're all with FFA, Bridget.
They are, and boy, when you say the FFA always exceeds expectations, when you thought two but four state officers show up and it's National 4-H Week, I mean, we're celebrating everything in studio today. So we're going to be back to talk with those state officers who are preparing to go to their national convention. Stay tuned. We'll talk to the students right after this. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us today. And by us, I mean a lot of us. We have a lot of guests in the studio today. Before we get to our guests, a reminder that if you are in the field harvesting, we've got sugar beet harvest going on, corn, potatoes, all sorts of things are happening. And if you're looking for a place to get to-go lunches for your field crew, don't forget about Great Harvest Bread Company in Fargo. They have fresh-made sandwiches and breads every day, cookies. They can do a whole box lunch for your crew. You can call ahead to order and talk to them at greatharvest.com or give them a call directly. They are at 1523 South University Drive in Fargo, and they will be there for you. Also, on our Here We Grow project, we're going to be combining corn this week. If you have not yet put in your guess in order to figure out how many bushels per acre we're going to yield on our corn for our charity project, we're raising money for Farm Rescue, you can please go ahead and put in those guesses on our Facebook page and let us know what they are. Or email me, ag@flagfamily or weather@flagfamily.com, and we'll take your guesses. Thanks to Dairyland Seed, who just did a video with us that came out on Friday, and Ellingson Drainage. They've been sponsors for this project the whole time along and greatly appreciate the work that they've done. So again, as I said earlier, when you call the FFA and you ask for some students and you expect two and four show up, FFA always exceeding expectations. How's that sound? It's a good week. So I am told that we have Madison and Bailey and Tegan and Grant all in studio today. And I'm going to run down the line. I'm going to need to know everybody's name, their office, and their home chapter. So I'm going to start with you, Madison. Those three things.
I think it was supposed to be Dawson.
Dawson. Yeah,
Dawson, not Madison. No, we'll go good. Dawson.
I'm from the Belfield FFA chapter and kind of growing close to those fires, actually. I'm from Fairfield originally.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And what's your office, Dawson?
I am currently serving as the state sentinel.
Excellent. All right, Bailey?
Yeah, my name is Bailey Urlacher, and I'm serving this year as the state vice president, and my home chapter is the New England FFA chapter.
Okay. Tegan?
Yeah, my name is Tegan. I get to serve as a state secretary this year, and I'm originally from the Napoleon chapter.
All right, and Grant?
Yep, I'm Grant Anderson. I'm from Harvey, North Dakota, and I'm serving as this year's state parliamentarian.
All right. So first of all, before we get too far, I'm going to ask Dawson, because you are from the far western part of the state. Have you had some folks that you know of who have been affected by the fires over the weekend?
Yeah, actually, a lot of my friends, and I am actually serving on the Billings County Fire Department, and so I've been getting these dispatches constantly over the past week. And I would say pretty directly, and I have a lot of friends that have had to evacuate, and some people from the Killdeer FFA chapter that I know have had to evacuate. So
we've had stories of some of your fellow members being out in tractors and tillage equipment for the weekend, making fire breaks and doing all that they can. Hopefully you guys have a chance to visit with them and recognize them before you all get to the upcoming national convention. Maybe that's a possibility for you too. So speaking of national FFA convention, I'm going to go to Grant. When is convention?
It's coming up at the end of October here. The exact dates, I cannot remember the exact dates. I remember when we fly, but I can't remember the exact dates.
Dawson, yeah. Do you know the dates?
I'm gonna phone a friend.
Yeah.
I believe we leave on the 20th, so it lasts that whole week, and it should last until the 26th, I believe.
We start on Wednesday, and convention wraps up that Saturday. So
maybe I should have phoned a friend.
Yeah.
Between the four of us, we've got it.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds to me like Bailey's kind of got this a plan in her head.
That's a good
Bailey,
assumption.
What's going to be happening at convention over those multiple days?
Yeah, so lots of stuff going on through convention, and you can even stay tuned through the different social medias there are, but during convention, we do our delegate work, so we work on improving the organization for the upcoming year and years to come, and then we also have students competing in events and general sessions where we just go over and listen to retiring addresses from our national officers, and then we select the next national officer team all at convention.
Well, when you think about all of those things going on, somebody here is going to have to be serving as a delegate. And I'm going to bet Bailey, because you are state secretary, are probably one of the delegates for the state of North Dakota, correct?
Yeah. So I am one of the delegates serving as a state vice president this year. Five of us are delegates this year. And I think Tegan knows a little more about that.
Okay. As delegates, do you have any idea? You're going to be helping to vote on national officers, but what other business will you have that you're going to be touching on while you're there?
Yeah, so that's the really cool thing about FFA and the National FFA organization is that it truly is a student-led organization. And so each state gets two leadership delegates, meaning that when we go to the sessions, we get to help run the delegate meetings and provide, just kind of lead the discussion and help provide the ultimate discussion that happens. And then there's also, each state also gets more delegates. That is variant on the amount of their state's membership and the percentage of that is with the whole nation's membership. So we have five delegates total. So two leadership delegates, both myself and our state president, Mariah Lovro, are leadership delegates. And then we have three more who get to be delegates who will participate in the discussions. And so some of the things we're going over are looking at reevaluating the regions within the national organization and where those borders are and what the regions really do for us. We're looking at some of the requirements for the American degree, which is the highest degree that an FFA member can bestow. And then we're also looking at planning some activities and what to do coming up for next year's national convention, or in a few years, which will be the 100th anniversary of the FFA. So there's a lot of activities that the delegates get to go over, and it's really cool because what we say actually can get put into effect. So we're the grassroots of the organization as members, and so what we say at these meetings can come into effect later in the years, which is a really cool thing to think of as a member.
All right. Well, guys, we got to hit bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we've got some more questions for everyone. I've got one for each and every one of you, so this should be an interesting one. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I just thought I'd give you the wind sound effects. I'm here to help.
Welcome back to Weather. We've got to give the FFA members here a little taste of Bridget behind the scenes, don't we? Well, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. I want to thank everybody for joining us. So, guys, I want to ask you, Dawson, Grant, Bailey, and Tegan here, what exactly got you interested in joining the FFA? Was it a teacher? Was it any individual? Was it Bridget? what exactly got you interested?
So I'll start off. What really got me interested is my brother and my sister were both heavily involved in there and just kind of inspired me to do it. And I think that was
Okay. Grant?
Yeah, pretty similar. I guess all my family was in it growing up, so I spent a lot of time at FFA stuff and I enjoyed everything. And then, didn't know for sure if that was what I wanted to do when I went into it. And then every FFA event I went to, I really loved it and decided to devote a lot of time to it. So that's how I got started, I suppose, with my family.
Yeah, so a little different story. I'm actually one of the oldest in my family, so I didn't have the older siblings to follow the footsteps of. But I come from an agriculture background. My family raises registered Simmental cattle. And so I have an ag background. And in school, I was really involved in almost every organization, coming from a really small Class B school. But FFA is one that really caught my eye from a young age. I was involved in 4-H. I did livestock judging through that. And so you kind of get grandfathered into the FFA chapter when you do it through 4-H. So I started in seventh grade, and it was just a way for me to stay connected to agriculture, but also expand on my leadership skills and public speaking, and honestly just learn more about the industry and connections. And it's a choice that I will forever be so grateful that I did. I learned so much, not only about the ag industry, but also just about just skills, just life skills, just being able to hold a conversation and speak in public and just teamwork abilities. And so, yeah, I took it from seventh grade and now didn't want to be done after senior year. So we're all here as state officers and freshmen in college. It's so great.
And speaking in public isn't as easy as some people think. A lot of people, they'll break out into a cold sweat or so.
You'll lock up.
Yeah, a lot of people will just lock up, don't know what to say. So that's a great skill to have, no doubt.
Dean used to be terrible at it.
Yeah.
Used to be.
You're
so
better now.
So I've improved?
You've improved.
Awesome. Bailey, how about yourself?
Yeah, so kind of like a mix of everyone. My older brother was an FFA, and so looking up to him growing up, I knew that was something I wanted to be interested in. And then I also grew up on a ranch. We raised registered Black Angus cattle, and my dad had talked about doing FFA when he was younger. And so looking at that, I wanted to stay involved and learn more about how I could be connected with agriculture more than just the cows, you know. So I joined in eighth grade and loved it ever since, did all I could, and here I am, a state officer, talking about FFA on the radio. So it's pretty cool.
And Bridget, let's throw the question to Bridget, guys.
Oh, okay. I like
what
this.
Got Bridget into it?
Oh, I have the terrible real story.
You have a terrible story.
I was sort of dating a guy who was an FFA who always said, never going to beat my high score in crop judging. So when I was eligible, because we couldn't join until we were freshmen. And so I joined as a freshman and I beat his score.
Nice. How'd he take it?
They didn't care. We weren't dating anymore.
He broke up with her after that. Don't let her fool you.
That's right. But FFA totally made so many things happen. And most of you have competed in contests that will be going on at national conventions. So I'm going to start with Bailey. What are some of the contests at convention and have you participated? Because this is the national level. This is the top that you can hit as a contestant in contests.
Yeah, so there's all of the contests at national convention we do at the state level, minus our land judging and range judging, which are held separately. But in the past, I've competed in creed speaking at the national level. And then coming up in convention, I'm also going to be participating in prepared public speaking. So preparing for that while also being a delegate state officer.
So taking that over to the guys, Grant, how about you?
Last year I got to compete in ag mechanics at the national level, and also I went down to El Reno for land judging, so that's my national experience. But at convention this year, Harvey got to go for we get to go for farm business management, so we're really looking forward to that. There's a lot of work that goes into these national contests. I think that's something, you know, that I realized having been there before, that's really good, is just understanding that level. We kind of realized, I guess, like with land judging and farm business management, that the national contest isn't necessarily harder. Some of them are a little more simpler, but you have to know what is there. You got to have that content down. So now that some of our team members are in college, and I know that's a lot of the case for a lot of these teams, you know, those seniors, they win in June, and then they have to stick with it. So coordinating with different college schedules and kids going to different colleges and some kids still back at their hometowns is kind of an interesting challenge, but it's great to carry that on to the next level and compete at nationals. And I know I'm super excited for it, and I know the rest of the officers on the team are excited to go to nationals, and it's a really great opportunity for all of those around the state who get to go to nationals. So it's a lot of fun to compete.
I'm going to change this just slightly for Dawson. Career fair and a trade show. Can you describe that for people who have not been there? And by the way, folks, this is all going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana. So if you could help us out, Dawson, and kind of paint the picture of what you see as a student when you get there.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's one of my favorite places to be at the national convention, just because all of it is networking. And that's my favorite thing to do, is just make conversations with random people and just make those connections. And so when you get there, you get to be exposed to hundreds of businesses that are looking for the next generation of agriculturally influenced people. And FFA is like a perfect opportunity for those businesses to just grow and just connect. And so you'll walk around and you'll talk to different businesses. And they try to make it the most interactive as possible, just to kind of grab those eyes of the youth. And I definitely think that they do a good job of that. So thank you.
And you could even shop for colleges there, right? Because it's even schools are there looking to recruit you for undergraduate and graduate degrees.
That's completely right. There is actually an NDSU recruiter that we all know, Blaine Novak's going down there to recruit for NDSU. And so plenty of other colleges look for their next class to come up.
So, Tegan, if you're going down there as a student and from the Napoleon chapter, knowing your advisor, Mr. Schneider, he likely had you go in your years before being a state officer. What kind of leadership sessions can you attend to help you bring back skills to your chapter?
Yeah, that's the cool thing about nationals is whether you go there to compete or if you're going just to go, there's always activities for you to participate in outside of your competitions. And so there's a lot of workshops that are put on by national FFA facilitators that you can attend that can help you grow throughout your leadership skills. It can help give you new networking skills, just a lot of different aspects that you can go and learn about while you're at national convention. And then also, honestly, just attending the convention itself, going to the sessions and seeing the national officers who are so good at their craft, at what they're doing. They're such good speakers. Their retiring addresses are just amazing. And they just have so much wisdom behind what they're speaking. And oftentimes it's something related to leadership or the impact of FFA. And so there's just really opportunities all around for you. You're surrounded by a sea of blue of leaders. And so there's just opportunities all around for you to grow your leadership skills when you're at a national convention.
Well, FFA has just had its 1 millionth active student. So there's 1 million students currently enrolled in FFA across the U.S. And additionally, you will probably be the largest size convention this year. I think you're at just over 70,000 people attending the convention in that 3-day run. So it's large. There's a lot going on. And lastly, I'm going to run this question by you. And I'll start with Bailey over there in the end. You guys get to fly as state officers.
Yes,
how's everybody else getting to Indiana?
Yeah. Well, in years past, I know we've rode together with other chapters on a bus, so a lot of bus rides. I do know some chapters do fly, but for the most part, it's a long bus ride. You just go there, and then a lot of the times these chapters get to go and tour other places and businesses. I know when I went back with my chapter, we went with Dawson's chapter and a couple other from the western side of the state. We got to tour places along the way, so we toured a lavender farm. We got to watch the Winnebagos get made, tour the Caterpillar Museum in Peoria, all as we approach Indianapolis, and then really get to those networking places at the expo like Dawson talked about.
So since you took that over to Dawson, I'm going to ask you, how did your chapter get there? But then also, how many chapters are in the state of North Dakota right now?
I believe it's 98, right?
Yep, just under 100 chapters.
Just under 100, yeah. And so like Bailey said, my sophomore year we went together. No, it was our junior.
Yeah, junior year.
Yeah, something like that. We got to go with about 3 or 4 chapters and got to meet some of my best friends that I have now. And last year I won dairy handling, and so I had the opportunity to go with just me and my advisor. And so we hopped along with the Flasher FFA chapter and drove down, visited Hummel Livestock in Iowa, and got to visit a couple other places, and that was just a blast in itself because I got to absorb just a lot more because it was more individualized and kind of focused on myself. So,
Grant, I'm going to ask you to answer this one. First of all, how did the Harvey FFA chapter always get to convention? But then, upcoming state convention, what are the dates, location, details for that for people who are listening?
So I'll start. Harvey, last year when we went, we took a 12-passenger van, I believe, and then also I think it was like a Yukon or something. So that was kind of nice to have, you know, a nice seat to yourself, kind of. I mean, it was more comfortable than a bus, and also on some of those long stressful trips, it was okay to, you know, break the chapter up a little bit at times. It was fun, but at a certain point, it's not fun to be stacked on top of each other all the time. So having those two different vehicles was pretty fun. And then, state convention coming up. I'm not good with dates, as you can tell. I don't know the exact dates, but I know it's always the first full week of June. And there's lots of stuff posted on the state FFA social medias, and then I believe as well as you go to the North Dakota FFA Association website, there's sources there where you can get those live streams and also get the award updates from there. So next June, first full week of June, that's when we have state convention, so stay tuned for that.
And that will be in Fargo. All right, so Tegan, lastly to you, students have the opportunity to join FFA all the way through high school. Alumni Stay Active, which, by the way, there's a plug for the FFA Foundation Gala, which will be held November 9th. That is an adults-only event for a fundraiser for all of you. For folks who are interested in attending the gala, you can drop me an email, and I'll happily share those details with you. It'll be in Fargo again on November 9th. But, Tegan, where do people go to find out more about FFA as far as websites, social media, etc., and how did you get to convention?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll start with the convention plug first. So our chapter would always take a small yellow school bus, mainly because our advisor, Mr. Schneider, didn't want to pay a bus driver to go down with us. He just wanted to drive himself. So thanks to that, we would usually be taking one or two teams. So we would have anywhere from 10 to 12 people in a 14-passenger bus. Mind you, we also have 10 to 12 plus suitcases for a whole week on there, plus your backpacks and everything else. So we were really packed full. To say it lightly, it was a great team bonding experience being on the bus with everyone all the way down to Indianapolis. But it was always a great time. And like Bailey said, we would oftentimes stop and tour. One place we stopped last year was we actually met up at a high school with an FFA chapter from Wisconsin. And their chapter does a really cool program where they do tours to the public about cranberry farms in their area. It's part of their POA, which is something that every FFA chapter has. And so we got to stop, meet up with members, and they gave us a tour of a local cranberry farm, which was so cool. And then we actually ran into them at convention the following few days, so it was cool to see them again after just touring their egg facility and classrooms, which was really cool. But as far as plugs for social media with FFA, you can follow the North Dakota FFA Facebook page and Instagram page. Us officers also all have our own Instagram page that you can follow. It's always NDFFA_ with our office position. So you can follow us on Instagram. And then we also have, the foundation has a Facebook page as well. And as far as convention goes, there's something called convention, is it convention.ffa?
Convention.ffa.org.
Yeah, so that's something you can follow to stay up to date with what's going on at National Convention. You can watch all of the sessions and look at all the contests that are going on. And also just staying up to date on the North Dakota FFA page, you can follow along with convention. And also all the sessions are live streamed on the RFD TV. Yeah, so you can follow along every general session. Like we mentioned before, they have really good speakers that you can watch for the whole week.
We really appreciate the whole team of you coming in today and spending some time with us so our listeners can catch up. Again, congratulations. Good luck at convention. Many of you are crossover members from 4-H, so also celebrate your National 4-H Week this week. And just thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Bridget, Justin, and Dean. We really appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, we will wrap up with our headlines and weather right after this.
And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 1:53 right now. Still got a few topics to get to here in this next half hour, or I should say 10 minutes, but we wanted to touch on that hurricane that's expecting to hit the west coast of Florida here by the end of the day of Wednesday or Wednesday night. It's currently off in the Gulf right now as a Category 5 with sustained winds of 175 miles per hour, central pressure of 911 millibars, and still intensifying. The good news is this is expected to weaken a bit before it hits Florida, but even at a weakened state, this is still going to just be a nasty situation down there. It's heading right towards Tampa with the latest guidance models right now, but really anywhere just north of Tampa and then down into the Keys is going to be affected with the storm surge of this, and then anywhere between. The good news is it's a quick moving hurricane, so it's only going to be on land for a matter of hours, but it's still going to deliver upwards of what appears to be about 9 inches of rain in some spots, which will cause wider spread areas of flash flooding and flooding just in general outside of the storm surge, which I think, if memory serves me right, Dean, was supposed to be in that 7 to 9, or is it 8 to 10 foot range right now.
Yeah.
From the Tampa Bay and then down towards Fort Myers.
Man. They're still cleaning up, not only just from this last hurricane, but from 2 years ago. And again, I believe it was Hurricane Ian that pounded the Tampa Bay area.
Back to back. I mean, at least it's not hitting Tallahassee again. Boy. I mean, could you imagine another Category 4 hurricane ripping through the exact same spot, a matter of, 10 days, 15 days apart?
No, I don't think we can. All of the previous damage through Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, there's an estimate. Of course, we don't have actual numbers yet, but an estimate $7 billion in agricultural losses. There are 107 poultry facilities that have been damaged or destroyed in Georgia and the Carolinas. Pecan orchards. Some of you may think, well, that's not a big deal.
Pecans.
Well, it's not a big deal until you wanted them.
Yeah.
Pecans. But pecans. There are orchards that had 60 to 80% loss.
Jeez.
So for those of you who are needing those pecans for baking later this year, they could be a little more scarce than you might have estimated. But yes,
spendier.
A lot of damage. A lot, lot spendier.
And they're still finding a bunch of stuff out about that. I mean, there's still places that have not been touched with help in those areas.
Right.
It's just inaccessible.
One of the first response teams, you might say, that showed up was farmers. They brought their drones, and they were able to use heat imaging to figure out where people might be trapped immediately in the aftermath. And they've also, of course, come with large tractors, four-wheel drives, and heavy equipment in order to try to move debris to get into where they need to be at. Farmers came to the rescue with what happened out in western North Dakota as well. I'm just very proud of so many people who didn't even think about it and just took their tractors and their tillage equipment and went to go fight fires because they needed to do that for the betterment of the whole area.
Do what you got to do.
Every single day. I did have one listener who said, what if we could have a fire suppression where basically we could take high intensity fans and blow back towards the flame to push it backwards? He said, it's probably not marketable, but imagine being able to do something like that. So there's an idea. Mm-hmm. For you to patent and make your money on.
Interesting concept.
Be a big fan.
Be a big fan.
I don't see it being a practical mean, but a very cool concept to think about.
No. Very cool concept. Another cool concept, join us on Saturday, this Saturday, for Beer Fest. I'm going only because there's Niffla soup, and they're going to pair that with Castle
Danger. That's not what I heard. That's not the reason that I heard.
There's a party. Here's Bridget in her blender. Glad she could make it. Oops.
That's why.
That too. Right, I'm going to watch the Bison game. I think I'll be there anyway. I'll let you know for sure. But
I'm surprised you haven't said anything about that yet.
About the Bison?
Yeah.
It was the wildfires were all encompassing, literally. So we beat UND this year.
Oh, there you go.
Yay.
Ask Dean what he did that day. He watched UND lose twice.
Well, we were tailgating first. We were tailgating for the Bison. And
Bison beat UND.
And so UND, they lost.
And then what did you do after that?
We drove north to see the Fighting Sioux and... Whoa.
Wow.
I hope they lost too. I hope they just had an off night because they did not look good.
That's what we call embarrassing.
So, Dean, you caused all that trouble?
You're not allowed to come back to the Ralph.
Right? Exactly.
It's like cruise night. Stay away. Anyway, we're back tomorrow, hopefully, 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Jay Thomas Show's coming up next. See you later. Bye.